with a focus of just falling on our knees together as your leaders and to pray for you once a month as we get together and just beg God to do a work in your lives. And we're making that commitment to you to do that monthly for you because we love you, because we want you to know that we're behind you, that our lives are opened up to you, that we're praying for you, and that you matter. I challenge you guys to do the same. Love each other that way. You see, we live in a culture where it's like we're just so buried underneath this like avalanche of selfishness is what it feels like. We're buried under layers and layers of selfishness and pride, and we don't even see it. Sometimes we don't even have our eyes opened up to how selfish we really are. And when we think we're cool, we're like, no, like I'm a pretty like giving person. And you start to really look at like the way you act and the what you would be willing to give up. You're like, whoa, that's startling. Like, I'm pretty selfish. Test yourself for a second. Do you go before God and do you say, hey, God, listen, these are the things I need your help with. And you put all your stuff on God's table and say, God, all right, go ahead, start like fixing that stuff. Can you make it look like this over here for me, God? Like, I really want my life to end up looking this way. Or do you go to God and say, here I am. What is it you want me to do? Give me the orders. My life's yours. Send me over here. Okay, I'm going. Or are you that person that God's like, hey, listen, I really want you to go do this. I've been calling you for a while now. I've been tapping on your heart and you're not listening. I really want you to go do this over here. And you're like, God, wait, that doesn't fit in my schedule right now. I'm playing soccer every Tuesday and you're asking me to give up a Tuesday. I can't do that. Like, that's more important, God. And I want my life to look this way. So can you adjust this to fit my schedule? Or you say, God, like that place is scary. You know who hangs out at that place? Like, I can't go over there. Forget the fact that Jesus walked in and had dinner with sinners and tax collectors and people that were considered scary and he loved them. But I'm not going to do that. I'm too scared. You see how, as you really start to think about it, the excuses pop up of all the reasons why you can't follow Jesus and you want him just to do it this way. Jesus, come on, the way I want it. Please make my life look like this. And all that really is selfishness. Because he never called us to do that. Actually, what he says is, come to my feet and ask me. Let me make the plans for your life. And so as you come, I'm going to tell you the best possible scenario if you're willing to actually just come and listen. But you know what I do? I'm so ignorant sometimes and maybe arrogant that I walk up to Jesus and I think I know better. I'm like, no, really, you didn't think it through, Jesus. Like, it should look like this. And he's like, what? But I'm Jesus. I created everything that exists, and you're trying to tell me how it's going to turn out? What he wants is for us to walk up and go, God, what do you want me to do? You see, but we're so covered in this selfishness, and that selfishness is what stops us from living like this. That same selfishness that our culture is just heaping on us and we're buying into, that selfishness is what's stopping us from moving out of our neighborhood into other neighborhoods. It's what's stopping us from opening up our lives to people, from really loving people and putting them first because I'm too concerned with myself and what I need and what my life needs to look like. And as long as I'm going to do that, how are we ever going to follow Jesus? Because that's not what he did. Jesus didn't live that way. Jesus shows us right here what he did. Philippians chapter 2 tells us that he took the form of a servant. He gave up everything, even to the point of dying on a cross for you and me. Why? Because he wants to live among us. He loves you that much. He wants to be in your life. He wants to live within you as the temple of God himself. He wants to live in us. So when will the time be where we say, look, we're actually going to follow the Jesus of the Bible and not the Jesus that we've made up in our minds. And we're actually going to do this. We're going to be willing to say, God, whatever it is you want for us to do, we're going to follow. You just tell me. I'll go wherever you call me to go. And we're willing to actually move out of our neighborhood and love other people well. The next part of the verse is, and we have seen his glory. You know, that as we do this, as we follow Jesus and do the things we're talking about, all of a sudden we're able to show people the glory of God. They get a glimpse of God because you're living like Jesus. That's what Jesus did. When he walked out of heaven and took on flesh and moved into where we live, what he did was he was able to show us the glory of God. And that's how we saw it. Because God's invisible, right? You can't see an all-powerful, eternal, infinite God. You can't see him. He can't be contained. But when you look at Jesus, you are looking into the eyes of God. When you see the way Jesus lived his life, when he touched the leper and healed him, when he loved people, when he sat around at supper with people, when you hear his teaching and his truth, all of a sudden you're catching glimpses of God himself. And that's how we're able to see the very glory of God. And that's what he wants us to do. That's what he's calling his body to do, is as we follow and imitate what he's doing, you will be able to be a bearer of God's glory to people that would never be able to see it. People that are trapped into the lies of this world and they're following the world and all the things the world says is good, and they never heard the name Jesus. They never heard that Jesus was actually good. They'd never seen the glory of God until they met you. Until in their darkest moment when they were hurting and you showed up to their door, loving them and serving them and meeting them in their place of need. And they're like, what? And they just caught a glimpse of Jesus because you were Jesus to them. They saw the glory of God because you brought it to their doorstep. I don't know about you, but that's the life I want to live, y'all. That's who I want to be. An imitator of my Savior, Jesus. That's what church is. That's what this youth group is about. And I hope you catch the vision and you jump on board with us as we live that way as a group. Because that's who we need to be. We're looking at the example of our Savior and saying, we want to imitate you, Jesus. We want to be like you. It's funny because what we're talking about here once again is relationships, right? The great commandment that Jesus gives, and he's like, I'm going to sum up the whole law, and it's two things, to love God and to love others. And both of those are relationships, right? A relationship with God, a relationship with each other. And what he did as he moved out of heaven to earth was for a relationship with you. It's how much he loves you. So what would it look like if we start to step up and say, I'm going to live like you, Jesus? What would your life look like if you started opening up yourself, your home, your I don't know, homework time, whatever the things are that like you do within your day and your schedule and your time, and you start to open them up and say, I invite people into this time so that I can love them well for Christ. I stop guarding my life so much that there's never any time for me to meet new friends or love people who are in need or talk to people who aren't like me because I'm too busy making me awesome. Which the world's going to tell you is great. But Jesus didn't say to do it. Jesus said, open your life up to the people around you and love them well. Say, I'm just too, you know, I don't have many unsaved friends or many friends at all. Well, go make some friends. Go make some friends. Be a friendly person. Go say hello and say your name to somebody. Break out of your timidity and your shyness and your shell that you're in and just go say, look, I'm going to do this because I'm following Jesus. And I know it's scary, but there's a lot of things about the Christian life that's scary. But the fact that I'm trusting Jesus means that I can do it. And so I want to challenge you. For those of you guys who are like, man, I just don't have many friends or many people who aren't my friends that aren't Christians, go make some. Follow Jesus in this. Follow his example and go out and make some and love people well. It says, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is what we get from Jesus. Are you ready? Grace and truth. Man, grace is the fact that you're not going to hell if you believe in Jesus Christ. Grace means eternal life for you. The fact that you and I have sinned and we've messed up and we've like offended God. And so God said, now there is a punishment waiting for you. But grace says, but I don't want you to be punished and I don't want you to go to hell. I love you. And so I'm sending my one and only Son who is the Word and will become flesh and he'll dwell among you so that you can have grace. This gift that you don't deserve. that I'm going to lavish extravagantly on you so that you can be saved and live forever. You could be forgiven. That's what we get from Jesus. That's his glory that we catch a glimpse of is the gospel. It's forgiveness. It's hope. It's this awesome grace, this gift we don't deserve. And that just shines so brightly who God is, this God of grace. And it says, and truth. He's also a God of truth in a world of lies. People wanting to know the answer. Why are we here? What's our purpose? What's going on around us? And all of those things become guesses and then become lies. When we have the truth from the one who created it all and sustains it all and knows the entire thing intimately, and he's telling us, this is it. And as we glimpse that, we glimpse the glory of God because he gives us grace and truth. This awesome truth that he loves us, that he's the source of life, that he gives us forgiveness. And we are called to be that for other people. He says, as I moved out of my neighborhood and into yours, I'm asking you to do the same. You might not have to physically move like your house to another house, but the people that are all around you where you already live, are you open to them? Do you love them? Do you even know the people around you? Do you know their names, know their stories? Most of us, like, this is what we do. We drive home, we go to school, we drive home or work, and as we come home, boom, we hit the little clicker thing in our car and the garage door goes up and we drive into the garage and then boom, we hit the other clicker and the garage door goes down and then we're inside. And as we drive through the neighborhood, we're like, oh, there's a neighbor. Oh, there's a neighbor. Oh, and we duck down and we're like, try not to look. And we don't even want to talk to our neighbors. And we just pull in and we never talk to anybody in our neighborhood. Like, even on TV, that's how they like show like Americans now. Like if you watch TV, that's what people do, right into the garage. All those opportunities living all around us. People at school, like, do you talk to the kids in your classroom? Do you get to know the kids, like, in your grade? How often are we taking advantage of loving people the way Jesus did? Because here's the truth, is that he's called us to do it. He's called us to step out the way he did. And John does it. Look in verse 15. It says, this is the Apostle John writing this book, but he's talking about John the Baptist. And he says, John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I am, of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. What John's doing here, John the Baptist is sharing basically a testimony of his interaction with Jesus. I met this guy. This guy is incredible. This guy is so much greater than I will ever be. And people thought John was like this great prophet, and he was. But he's like, compared to Jesus, I'm nothing. Jesus is number one. And John is sharing a testimony to the world and saying Jesus is the best. It's funny that that is what's shared right after what we just learned about Jesus. Hey, I'm calling you to be that light and to bring God's glory to the world. And then he shares like how John shared a testimony. What do you think the greatest tool is that he gave us to do that? Your story. If you believe in Jesus, then there's been a moment in your life where like you lived a certain way and you were a certain person, but Jesus showed up and said, I'm changing you and I love you. And then all of a sudden you became a new person. That's your story. This is how I used to be. This is what I'm struggling with now. But here's the difference. Jesus in my life. And let me share with you what he's done for me. Let me share with you how awesome Jesus has been to change my life and transform me and make me brand new. You might not be a Bible scholar or a theologian, and you might be scared. Like, what if they ask me questions? Here's what you do. You share your story. Nobody knows your story better than you. You go to people, you say, I love you, and look at what Jesus did for me. Let me just share that part with you. If you need like big questions, crazy questions, I'll bring you. You can meet my pastor, whatever. But here, I want to share my story with you because I know it personally. This is what Jesus did for me. You guys know that we've been working down in Guatemala a lot for a couple years now. And on our trips down to Guatemala, we were in this one village. And some of you guys know about this story. There was this guy named Joel. And Joel in this village called Calvario, which means Calvary, he was like the baddest dude in town. He was the one that was drunk all the time. He was the one that was always in fights. He was the one who would beat his wife and kids. And everybody knew it. They knew this about Hoel. And people really didn't like this guy. And a lot of them were scared of him. And one day he was out working in the fields. And he worked in these like palm seed fields in this big truck. And he worked on the top of this huge truck, like scooping with a shovel, like scooping the seeds in and stuff. And the truck tips over and falls on him and crushes him from the waist down. Messes his body up so badly that he's not able to use the restroom. They have to use this thing called a catheter that helps you do that. And if you don't, your body poisons itself and you die. These things are really expensive and you need to change it like a couple times a day. And we're talking about a guy who's a tribal Indian in the middle of a jungle. And he's like, how will I ever pay for these treatments? And at the time, they were giving them to him for free. And he has this moment where he just breaks down and his wife comes up to him and is like, hey, listen, remember that pastor that came through here that everybody kicked out of town and didn't want him here? How he shared that God could do awesome like miracles and things we can't believe? Maybe we should pray to him. And so he didn't know what else to do. He basically agreed because he had no other option. And so they began to pray and they would bow down and kneel together every night and pray for healing from this God that they still didn't quite know yet. And over the course of a couple weeks and then a month, this date that they had given him, a deadline where they were going to cut off his medical supplies, which was pretty much a death sentence for him at that point. It came, and the night before, they're in bed, and they're praying together, and his wife falls asleep, and Hoel stays up just bawling his eyes out and falls asleep crying. Just before the morning, before the dawn, he wakes up, and he uses the restroom for the first time. He's able to go to the bathroom by himself. It's a sign that he was healed, and he no longer needed those things that he was about to be denied and then lose his life. And so right there, he grabs his wife and they rejoice. And they're like, what did God just do? This is incredible. God had to have done that. And so they went to the doctor and the doctor looked at him and they couldn't believe what had happened. And so they both like share with the doctor that they had been praying and that God had healed them. And the doctor was just like, what? They come home. And because of that, he starts sharing that story with people in his village and people start believing in the same God. We show up. We're sitting in his house. And he says, Rob, I need to tell you a story. This is what happened to me. And he shares that same story with me. And he says, I'm not sure what that even means, but I said, brother, you need to get saved. Let me tell you about this guy named Jesus who's doing all this in your life right now. And Hoel gets saved. Believes, puts all his trust in Jesus. Turns into a wild man. He starts going around his village and all these people in his village start getting saved. His wife gets saved. His kids get saved. They start talking to the ladies. They start getting saved. All the while, we have been going down there every couple months or so, seeing this incredible thing God's doing among these people. And so we were just down there this last, it was only a couple days ago. So last week we were down there and we had this awesome time where we were able to ordain him as the pastor, the official pastor at that church. He's been in seminary studying and learning how to pastor his people, learning the word of God. And he did the first Lord's Supper with his people that they had ever done together. The Lord's Supper, what a beautiful picture that we are in this together, dwelling together as the body of Christ, exactly what he came for, to make us that. And so he got to do that. And then as we're leaving, the last thing he tells, the whole team had gone to the bus and I was hanging out there with him the last second I could. And he sits me down in these benches that Matt and the guys made for him. And we're sitting on these benches and he says, man, I got to tell you, I got some other towns, some other villages who have sent word and they want me to go and talk to them. I'm like, really? About what? Like what? Palm seed oil or like what exactly are you talking about? And he's, well, they heard that I got healed. And so they want me to come and tell them like which doctor I spoke with or like what type of like magic they did to heal me. Like if it was a potion or like what it was, because this was definitely some sort of like spell that they did to heal me. And I'm like, what? He's like, well, I'm going to go and I'm going to share my testimony. And then I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to tell them that there was no witch doctor that did this. There was no magic chant. It was Jesus who showed up in my time of need when I was broken and hurting and he moved in, all right? Like we would say, he moved in. And he loved me enough to heal me. And he's like, and I'm praying that every person of those villages gets saved. And I'm so pumped. I can't wait till like that time comes where I can call him up on the phone or go down there and visit him and be like, hey, bro, like what happened? How many people accepted Jesus? Did they receive the truth? Did they receive his grace? Did they catch a glimpse of the glory of God because your testimony that you brought to them? Man, that's you and me too. His testimony might sound like this big, crazy story that's like unbelievable, but so is yours. I don't care how simple you think your story sounds. The fact that the God of the universe would step out of heaven for you or me to heal our brokenness, to take this destroyed, broken sinner that I was and make me brand new, that's a miracle. That's a bigger miracle than any physical miracle we'll ever hear of. And that's your story. And Jesus is asking you to share that. Will you open your life up to people around you and just share what he's done for you? The story you know best, the story that you live every single day, will you share that with others and love them enough so they could see the glory of God through you? Verse 16 says, for from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Jesus' fullness was his perfection that you and I didn't have. And because of his perfection and his death on the cross, you and I have received grace upon grace. This indescribable amount of grace that we could never measure. It was so much that Jesus looked at your sin and said, I love you. Man, I love you so much. So much I'll spill my blood for you. That's a grace that's just incomprehensible. Verse 17, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. He didn't come to judge you. He didn't come to condemn you. He didn't come to point his finger in your face and point out all the sins that he knows you did. He came to seek you and to save you when you were lost because he loves you. He brought you grace and truth. And the last verse we're looking at tonight, verse 18, it says, no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. We can't see this invisible God until Jesus, God himself, shows up in our neighborhood in a way where we can interact with him and see him and love him. And as we gaze on what Jesus has done for us, we're seeing the face of God. He moved into our world, our neighborhood, our lives, in order to show us the face of God. So here's my question for you tonight. We could just talk a lot about how beautiful that story is of what he's done. Or we can be like that action verb, Jesus. We don't just leave it in this, like, these words that we say. We do something about it. We could be like Joel who says, I believe this so much, I'm going to go tell everybody I know. I'm going to help the people that are hurting because Jesus did that for me when I was hurting. I'm going to live this love out with the people around me. And I want to challenge us to be that kind of person, to be a group that loves the mess out of each other, that knows because we're in each other's lives who's hurting and we take care of each other. To open up our lives to people that aren't like us, people that we would call sinners, that are like terrible people, that we let in our lives and love them well, because those are the very people Jesus came to save. And he's called you to be that to them. He didn't come to judge. He came to love. And so here's what I want to ask you to do tonight. Here's how I want to close this thing. You just heard our vision. That's our vision for Firehouse, that we become that type of person. That we as a group would be known for being the most loving people that anyone's ever met when they walked in these doors. And they never had to come to these doors to meet us because we were so busy going out and loving them and meeting them. And the second they met us, it was like looking at the glory of God because they saw Jesus in us. Will you buy into that vision? Will you say, like, I want to jump on board with that because that's who we are in Jesus. Like, that's who he's made us to be. So why wouldn't we? Like, there's nothing mysterious here. That's what Jesus has done and asked of us. And so I want to challenge you to come along with us in that. Will we become what God has already called us to be as his body? Will you guys just close your eyes for 1 second? And just in the quiet of your heart, I want you to ask yourself that question, because I don't want anyone to make a decision that they haven't actually thought through and they haven't actually talked to God about. So here's what I want to ask you to do real quick in just the quiet of your seat. Will you just say, am I living like that? Be honest with yourself. It's okay if you're not. There's no judgment here. We're just being honest and asking the question, am I really living like that? Or am I covered in selfishness? Am I too into me and I'm not living in a way that loves, dearly loves other people? Maybe you need to ask yourself tonight, do I know Jesus? Have I ever received this grace upon grace you're talking, this free gift? Forgiveness of my sin. Like, have I ever been forgiven by God before? And if that's you tonight, if you're like, man, I've never been forgiven. I've never met Jesus. And he moved all the way down to my neighborhood. He came to earth for me and died on a cross and rose again and did all this. And I never knew it. I never believed it. I need to do that tonight. I want to be forgiven. Will you just slip your hand up in the air and say, that's me. Like, I want that forgiveness. I want to be saved. I want to know this Jesus that you're talking about and receive that grace. I just want to pray for you tonight. Will you just slide your hand up and say, that's me. Just pray, because I need to be forgiven. I need to know this Jesus. Would you speak to your leaders tonight before you leave this place, or come find me after and say, look, I raised my hand to be saved and I want to be forgiven. We would love to pray with you and show you how to do that. And just take a minute just to kind of get alone with you and just pray. But I have something else I want to ask tonight, because we do this a lot and we are like, hey, raise your hand and then leave and then forget about it. And I don't want to do that tonight. For those of you guys who are here and you're like, man, I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. I want to follow him. Okay, good. Because I want to challenge you in that. I want to ask you to step up and really live that out now. I feel like we've been in moments where we've been kind of coasting through this, like, loving Jesus thing. And he's a God of action. And he's asking us to get up and actually live that out. So here's what I want you to do. If that's you and you're like, I do believe in Jesus, I want to follow him. Over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about these topics. We're going to be looking at how Jesus has done this. And over the next 3 weeks, I'm going to challenge you to do the same thing over and over. So we'll have 4 weeks of challenging you to do something. I put 4 sign-up sheets on the walls here. There's 2 up front on either wall, and there's 2 out back on either wall. And they say different things. They're just practical ways that we've kind of thought up that would be cool ways for you to stay. Like, I'm going to, like, do something about this. I'm going to get up and follow Jesus in my community and love people well. And so the 4 things we came up with is Fellowship of Christian Athletes, FCA at your school, is what a tremendous way for you to go to your campus and love the people there. To step out of your neighborhood and into theirs and say, like, I want to live for Jesus at school. And so if that's you and you're like, man, I will sign up for FCA at whatever school I'm at, I'm going to go to FCA this year. I'm going to be a part of it. I'm going to commit to go there and to love people in my school and invite people who are atheists to this group and people who don't know Jesus to this group. And I'm going to be active, because Jesus was active. He's the verb, and that's what I want to do. There's a sign-up sheet for FCA. I just want you to put your name on it. I'm not going to turn that into the FCAs. What I'm going to do with that list is pray for you. I'm going to read down that list to my staff. We're going to be praying for you as you make that commitment to really be fully involved there. There's a group that says Jubilation. And you're like, man, I want to go out into my community and I want to serve people. And the Jubilation is all about that now. On Sunday nights, they get together and they go out and they do service projects to the community and love our community well and bring the gospel. What an awesome way for you to do what we're talking about here tonight. I want to challenge you, sign up on that list if that's you. Or maybe you're like, man, I don't even serve at my church, my own church yet. There's a sheet over here that says service to my church, where you can serve at Firehouse. You can serve as a greeter at our church. You can become a part, a serving part, an active part of this church body. I want you to sign up on that and say, like, pray for me because I want to do this. And then there's one in the back there that says Mission Trip Merritt Island. Some of you guys know about that. We go feed homeless people and bring sandwiches to them and share the gospel and do other projects like that around our community. And that's another awesome way for you to live like Jesus on mission actively. And so I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. Here's how I want it to end tonight and for the next 3 weeks. If the Holy Spirit's tapping in your heart and he's like, that's you, I've been asking you this for a while, I want you to get up and obey. I want you to walk over to those sheets and put your name down on the things that you feel God calling you to do to actively live out your faith in Jesus. All right? We're going to do one more song of worship. After we do that, I want you to find your sheets and go around and sign up where you feel called to go.